This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Established in 1985, Sasbadi made their name in publishing school textbooks in the 1980s. Fondly remembered as the curriculum Bersepadu Sekolah Menengah workbooks in the 1980s, throughout the decades, they have carved a name for itself in the English and Malay workbook segments. In the studio with me is Law King Hui, the MD and co-founder of Sasbadi Holdings. He's on the Breakfast Grill to share with us Sasbadi's plans on staying relevant in the 21st century. Good morning, King Hui.
Yeah, good morning, Ibrahim, and thanks for having me.
My pleasure's all ours. If you have any questions for Sasbadi, you can text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So, King Hui, let's do a quick roundup on what Sasbadi has been doing since going for listings in 2014. I think the core question right now is, because the publishing segment is facing a lot of headwinds, are we quick to discount the fact that the publishing sector is going in the sunset direction?
I think it depends on how you look at it. For me, you will never be facing the sunset if you can continue to evolve yourself. So it's the same here. We were established in 1985. We started off as a print publishing company, publishing just specifically for school children. And over the years, we have now evolved. We have got technology platform. We have got dynamic learning materials. And we also are gaining ground into the non-academic publishing. And I think in a way, we have a future-proof ourselves. Yeah. And I'm quite sure we are not facing the sunset.
Okay, so let's focus a little bit on digital. There's a strategy that you're trying to build right now because as of 2015, it seems that your contribution in the digital segment is below 10% of the total group revenue. What is the strategy here to actually improve on the revenue coming from the digital segment?
Yeah, we have actually invested quite a lot, quite substantially into digital publishing because we believe, like it or not, that is going to be the future. Way of learning by accessing ICT, by using a lot of technology. And the reason why it is not yet contributing significantly is because being so new, the technology itself is not known to many people. And because of that, actually, we have recently gotten ourselves a direct sales license, hoping to use that multi-level direct marketing channels to introduce and recommend our very technologically advanced product to the users.
So let's focus on this statement that you made earlier this month, saying that this you will seek higher revenue through new businesses and through direct sales. Why is it so important for you to diversify channel distribution on digital? What's wrong with the current channel that you have right now?
Yeah. When we first started, say in 2011, 2012, when we launched those products, actually we went through the conventional channel to sell them. And we also learned through the experience that when we go on a roadshow, for instance, when we participated in book fairs, from the 10 customers that we approach, we have a very high conversion rate, as high as like 80 to 90%. Then when we move the products to the shelf in the bookshop, then we found out that it cannot gain traction. So minimal, and I think that is attributed to two reasons. One, being the customer do not really understand what the product is all about. And on the other hand, I believe that the shop assistant or the conventional book-selling people, they lack the motivation to sell digital products. So it is a lot more difficult to sell digital products because you need to do a demonstration, you need to explain, you need to be sort of like technologically quite well informed yourself.
So based on this, the existing distribution channels might not work in your push for digital medium. What makes you so certain that direct sales will achieve that?
That is by falling back on our experience when we do book fairs, when we actually have a one-on-one talking to the prospect, and we have a very high conversion rate always.
Now, I'm speaking to Law King Hui, the Group Managing Director for SASBUDDY Holdings Berhad. King Hui, you went to the capital markets in 2014. It's been 2 years now. Access for funds through the capital markets is now made available for companies like yourself. Is it more important for you to actually seek growth now, considering that access to funds is now made available? What is your strategy on growing organically versus, say, mergers and acquisition in the industry?
Yeah. Well, we will still focus on our organic growth because I think we need to stay relevant in the market by growing organically. And that has been our strength all this while. We have been a very innovative publishing company. We will continue to innovate the products to gain a bigger market share. But having said so, I think as a public listed company, we should assess the capital market so that we can heighten our growth. Comparing to the last 30 years when we were a privately owned company, we grow quite slowly. And I think the time is right now for us to grow faster because the opportunity is plenty out there. And with the arrival of digital, I think we can even look at the regional market as our future marketplace. And talking about M&A, I think we have made an announcement in the past that we aim to do at least one M&A per year. And I think we are on track to achieve that aim till today. And this M&A will help us to gain a market share into a segment that we not already have a significant presence. So this is how we plan to do it.
So before we go into the kind of target companies that might be of interest for SASBUDDY, let's take a quick look into some of the acquisitions that you have made. It seems here that you have made a 70% stake in book publisher Sanjung Unggul Sdn Bhd for about 21 million ringgit. Yes. There's other two other firms as well. How has these M&As worked out for SASBUDDY?
For instance, the Sanjung Unggul Group, we acquire into 70% of the Sanjung Unggul Group's equity so that we actually gain straight away a market share in the Chinese market, the Chinese medium publications market, specifically for academic as well.
So this is SJKC.
SJKC we are talking about, yeah. And by acquire the entire IP list from Syarikat Multimedia, we straight away launch ourselves into the tertiary market, which is the teacher training segment.
All right.
And this prior to the acquisition, we do not have a significant presence in any of those two.
Okay, so let's focus a little bit on the teachers training segment. We know that Malaysia is aggressive in terms of trying to teach teachers. Is this a segment that you can see considerable growth in pushing your top line?
Yeah, I believe going forward, we really hope that we can further transform ourselves and also transform the technology, particularly by leveraging on the technology platform that we own. We hope to be able to offer all the teacher trainees who are actually quite dispersed. They are studying in, if I'm not wrong, about 27 teachers institute Pendidikan Guru throughout the country. I was made to understand the ability to buy reference material for such trainees are sometimes quite a big issue because not many bookshops are carrying a full range of the product they need. And we hope by leveraging on the technology platform, we can actually make the products become more easily accessible to such trainees.
Right. Let's take a look into some of the joint ventures that you've done, or at least collaborations that you're planning to do. One of them is PT Penerbit Erlangga, the Indonesian biggest book publisher. What can you particularly encounter from this particular engagement?
The collaboration with PT Erlangga Indonesia is actually a collaboration of their contents and with our technology platform. But I believe at this juncture, they are also going through the same learning curve like we have gone through, not able to gain enough tractions. And I think they probably also need to look at our
model,
a new model, which is actually to find a more effective distribution channel.
Is this a hint that you're going regional?
Yes, I think we plan to do that.
Still on the topic of M&A, but crossing over to the topic of intellectual property, late last year, you signed an MOU with Southern Publishing and Media Company Limited. This is a company incorporated in China. What was the MOU about, and what are the potential collaborations that you will explore together?
Coincidentally, we have just made an announcement yesterday that we have terminated that MOU. But anyway, that MOU was actually for us to explore a possible a possibility in collaborating with them, particularly on the technological platform.
All right. So it's been 6 months. The MOU was signed. Yeah. Within that 6 months, you initially wanted to, not you as in SASBADI, initially wanted to see if there could be some collaboration in intellectual property rights. Now, I've just had a chat on the Breakfast Grill with folks from an IP firm, Ella Cheong, as well as the Deputy Director General of MyIPO. They say that companies like the publishing houses in Malaysia would benefit greatly from valuing appropriately their intellectual property. Is this a direction that SASBADI wants to take on valuing and keeping in touch with your IP rights?
Ibrahim, I'm very glad that you asked this question, because actually as a publishing company like ours, we've been around for 31 years now. And over the 30 years, we have actually created a lot of contents. And those contents are our intellectual properties. But if you look at our account, look at a balance sheet, you can't find any of them there. And to me, this is actually a hidden gem. We are like sitting on a gold mine. And if the opportunity presents itself, we can always actually monetize some of this intellectual property. Take, for instance, when Pearson exited the Malaysian school market, we actually have to pay the money for their intellectual property. So this is a very good example. And I can resonate with what our Prime Minister has been saying, you know, that we need to move up the economy value chain, and one of the most effective way is to venture into the intellectual property area.
Okay, so you when SASBADI acquired Pearson, it was more for the IP rights. Yeah. Going forward, knowing that SASBADI is going on an aggressive M&A kind of journey, what are the corresponding factors that you are looking for in a company when you plan to acquire them? Yeah.
If we, when we identify a potential M&A target, I think we will definitely be going after a company that has a very good brand name, and also a company that has a good or significant market share in their respective segment. And also, very important to us, a company that has got a lot of hidden intellectual property that we can leverage on. And we definitely will not be going after a company that has a lot of fixed assets.
Right, okay. So let's focus a little bit on the non-education sector, something that SASBADI wants to look at aggressively. Small presses have now become a fixture in the Malaysian book scene for the past 2 or 3 years. Publishers such as Buku Fiksi, Dubuk are now regarded as mainstream. And do you think these kind of small publishing houses stand to gain a lot if they are partnering or acquired by SASBADI?
Yes, I think the one very I look at it this way. Publishing is a business that you can actually benefit a lot if you have economy of skill. And a lot of smaller publishers work very hard, but they are unable to make a very good profit. As compared to SASBADI, I think we are making a reasonably good profit. And one very big difference is the economy of skill. Our M&A, if we could actually use M&A to acquire some of these smaller company and then leverage it on our economy and skill, and not to mention about our larger distribution network and our efficiency, I think the profit can be a lot better.
So let's focus on the publishing industry in particular, the key risks as of May 2015. According to Bursa, there are 2 or 3 key risks in the publishing sector. Now, of course, this is afflicted towards large publishing houses like SASBADI or the smaller guys. There's volatility in paper prices. There's changes in educational policies. In fact, there's also the story of migration to online platforms. Are these risks considerable risks that you have to navigate, and what are the measures that you have put in place to navigate them?
Yeah, we have been dealing with those matters all these years anyway. Paper being a commodity, of course, the paper prices fluctuates. And for us, the way we mitigate is because we have the ability to buy in advance. What we do is we always have some buffer stocks so that we when we print a book, when we publish a new book, we will already have a fixed cost on paper. And second, secondly, we can also pass on such cost increase to consumer, actually, if you do not know, we can actually do that. And secondly, I think with regards to the government policy changes, government do not change policy abruptly. Things are all done very orderly, and we can always plan ahead and so that you won't be caught. And having said that, I think sometimes it can even turn out to be an advantage for a publishing company like ours, because we are able to respond. If there is actually a sudden announcement of a change of policy, which has happened before in the past, and we can actually respond a lot faster than the smaller company, and in that sense, actually, we gain more market share through our ability to respond faster.
Okay, I think there's also the story of the education policy by the government that seems to be, it may not be true, but it seems to be changing every year. Are you prepared for these kind of changes? Is there even a real change in this education policy going forward?
No, I think this is not quite correct that to say that the policy has been changing every year. You see, we are a publishing company. We publish based on the syllabus or curriculum published by the Ministry of Education. And curriculum do not change every year. Mm. For instance, currently, the primary school is using a new curriculum known as KSSR. And that new curriculum was introduced 6 years ago, and they have just completed a 6-year cycle from year one to year six, and the government is now doing a revision. Next year, 2017, the year one will be using still the same curriculum, KSSR, but a semakan semula, a revised version of it. Whereas for the secondary school, I think Ibrahim mentioned in the beginning, we were actually publishing based on the KBSM, Khusus Bersepadu Sekolah Menengah, curriculum, and that curriculum has been in existence for more than 10 years. Mm-hmm. And yes, by 2017, we will be publishing book based on KSSM. Mm-hmm. That is an extension of the KSSR into KSSM Form 1. And the normal process is they will do that one on a yearly year on year, year by year. So subsequent year, they will introduce in year Form 2 and subsequently Form 3 until they complete Form 5, a cycle.
So I'm quite interested in how the publishing houses like yourself fit in the development of the education system, particularly when you have the pulse on the ground. You know what parents are buying more, what parents are buying less. Is the publishing houses like yourself, who have been publishing textbooks and workbooks for the past 30, 40 years, are you involved in the development of the national syllabus education process?
Oh, no, we are not.
And do you think you should?
I think the government, Ministry of Education specifically, they have all the various departments looking into all the various matters, and they are the real expert. And I think we have been enjoying doing what we've been doing well. And I think the government will continue to do what they are doing well. And for me, I look at our business as a supporting a business to the Ministry of Education. I always say this. Actually, we help students along with their studies, and we actually play a complementary role to the Ministry of Education's policy. Whatever that they aim to achieve, we actually just help along so that we could achieve those objectives.
So there is a trend, and this trend is rather quantitative. It's a fact that the enrollment of middle-class Malaysians, they will enroll their children into the private school. Is there a deteriorating segment in public schools, in your opinion?
I do not think so. In my personal opinion, I think the private school student enrollment is still very small. Relatively speaking, it's very small. We have 5.5 million students nationwide, and if I remember correctly, probably those students in the private sector, private schools, are probably just numbered to about around 100,000 across the whole spectrum.
So 5.5 million versus 100,000.
Yeah, that is a very small ratio.
All right, and what about the natural habit of Malaysians reading? In fact, I have some numbers here. The National National Library is facing cuts in government funding. In fact, in 2015, the government funding for the National Library is 5 million ringgit. This is half of what it received in 2014, even lesser in the years before. Yeah. Is there a concern that we should have on Malaysians reading less? Or are Malaysians just reading? It's not just they're not going to the National Library. It's just that's just about it.
Yeah, I think these two these are two different matters. How much money the National Library is spending on buying books and the reading habit, so to speak. Because I think the middle income group has expanded. Books are becoming cheaper and more affordable. A lot of people actually do buy books and do not visit books or do not use National Library as their source of books for reading. Having said that, I really would also like to see budgets or allocations to national libraries or school libraries be increased, because that will directly help to develop our intellectual property sector of our country's economy. I think one of the NKRA that has been highlighted by the government is actually education, and education actually can help to grow the intellectual property sector, because up to this moment, most of the publishing activities within our country has been focusing on this sector, academics link, and I think the National Library also school library can really help the industry to go along. And if we are serious about moving up the economy value chain, I think all policy has to be aligned, including the budget for library or national library should also be increased.
Okay, so while the allocations to these kind of institutions is important and for us to continue on having this discussion, one industry that is closely tied with the publishing houses is the bookstores. Right now, bookstores are in a steady decline. In fact, Singaporean print market, for instance, is in a steady decline. There's only one major bookstore left there, which is Kinokuniya. Malaysia seems to be experiencing the similar decline in print. In fact, a company like yours, Sasbadi, is already going for direct sales, meaning that you are not abandoning, you are just diversifying your channel distribution. Is there a future for Malaysian bookstores?
Yeah, I think I would say the same for them. They need to evolve. For instance, they need to also learn how to sell contents that are being offered on the different platform, rather than just be focusing on print. I think everyone has to accept the fact that the world is becoming digital. And I think they will not be irrelevant if they can actually evolve.
So there's one quick tweet that came in. How does Sasbadi plan to compete in the online learning sites such as Pencil.my, Fullmark.com and so on? Do you think that you will be able to create that kind of platform or learning platform for yourself or on Sasbadi's platform?
Yes, we already have a platform. That is known as Island Ace. That is our digital self-learning platform. That is a platform that we try to sell by using the multi-level direct marketing. And we have already gained recognition in this area. We have actually offered such products to a large number of students in the past.
So what's the future for Malaysian publishing houses?
It's bright. It's very good. Yeah, because education is a very good sector. The need is forever growing. I always tell people education is the only sector where you do not have to spend a cent to create the need.
Yeah, and everybody has.
Yeah.
Right, I've been speaking to the Group Managing Director of Sasbadi Holdings Berhad, Lau King Hui. Thanks for being on the grill.
Thank you, Ibrahim.
I'm Ibrahim Sani for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.